I'm glad you guys are here today, just praying about what God has for our idea. The four parts of the story is creation right now. Today is in His image. We're created in the image of God. I was thinking about that, and I guess the best way to say that when we think about the Bible saying we're created in God's image. What is God's image? Is this what God looks like? Is this what God looks like? Well, I mean, I've got five children, and people say, well, we know your kids are your kids. They look like you. I mean, making copies. I mean, my first three were boys, and it was like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I mean, they all came out, and they looked exactly, I mean, you knew they were our kids. I remember when our first was born, that first experience, you remember having those kids when you had your children. It was that exciting moment, finally, and we were in college. I was just finishing up my 6-year of college. Yes, I went to college for 6 years. No, I'm not a doctor, okay? But I went for 6 years. And I was in my finals week. And my wife called and said, we were actually sitting at home. We're sitting at home watching the Suzanne Summers special. I still remember. And she said, I think I'm having the baby. I said, okay. Let's go. So we rushed over to the hospital. That was on a Monday, about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. Still remember that. That was a long, long time ago. And as we got to the hospital, they brought her and said, yep, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this. And I thought, oh, this is it. Heart's pounding. We're about to have a child. And we go through 27. We? Oh, I'm sorry. I went through 27 hours of labor with my wife. And at 9-something, or in that morning, I remember all night long, the contractions, the Pitocin, they kept just going back and forth with these different drugs sort of induce the contractions, to take away the contractions, to induce the contractions. And in the next morning, they said, let's go ahead, we're going to go ahead and break the water. So they did that in the morning at 9 o'clock. At noon, no baby. At 2 in the afternoon, no baby. At 5 o'clock that night, I'm thinking, there's no water in there. He's not swimming anymore. What's he doing? And do we need? At 9:30 that night, the doctor says, you know what? We're going to have to do a C-section. I mean, it was emotional. It was one of the craziest things. By the way, he's no longer practicing medicine, by the way. His license was revoked, actually. And I'm thinking, this is one of those scary moments as a dad, and we're anticipating this. And so I'm in the room, and I'm sitting up there at the head of the table, and there she is with the curtain, so I can't really see what's going on, which is a good thing. But I can hear what's going on as they're doing the C-section. And as they finally happens, there's me, and there's my wife who's there, and she's praying in tongues, and there's the anesthesiologist, this lady who was probably dishonorably discharged from the Marines for being too mean. And she had no sense of humor, because as they were doing this, you know, I didn't know what to expect. What's he going to look like? We knew it was going to be a boy. And then I hear the doctor say, it's a boy. And after 27 hours, I spoke for the two of us, and I screamed out with that joy of life. And I said, that is great. And they said, he's got blue eyes. I said, that's awesome. And they said, he has black hair. And I said, whose is he? The lady on the other side of my wife. And my wife knows my sense of humor. Looked over me and says, I can't believe you said that. I said, lady, after 27 hours, get over it. He had a full head of this thick, thick black hair that he lost within a couple of weeks. But what a moment. And then it just kept happening. We just kept having babies. A couple years later, there was another one, and it's a boy. We were told it was a girl, but it was a boy, and it was awesome. And then another one, 2 years later, and it was a boy. And 2 years later, another one. And they said, it's a girl. And she said, I don't believe it till I see it. Then one day, sitting at dinner, having our family prayer before dinner, my 7-year-old prays a prayer, and she'd been praying forever, and Mom and I said to her, "Honey, remember what you've been praying for?" Because we were done. But oh, it wasn't enough that Jackie had 3 brothers. She wanted to have a sister. And she'd been praying and praying and praying for that sister. So we're sitting at dinner and we said to her, "Honey, remember what you've been praying for? All these years you've been praying." And when it was her time to pray, that was just kind of her prayer. Along with, you know, the dinosaurs of the world, that God would protect what's left of the dinosaurs and those things. We said, "Honey, remember what you've been praying for? God has answered your prayer." She says, "I'm getting a pony." We said, "No, that's not the prayer. The other one." And her eyes got big. She goes, "I'm having a sister." Yes. And so 7 years later, we had the surprise. And it's been a surprise every day. And she is so much like her mother. Which is good. Which is good. You folks need to settle down a little bit. And I think about being in his image. I know they're my kids. I know they're my kids. They look like us. I mean, they've got the blue eyes. They've got most all of them have my nose. And we know they have all of those little nuances that we know, well, those are Olsen Imhoff kids. They all have Susan's ear, the kind of bent in top of the ear. So we even had them marked in the hospital. We didn't even need to tag them. It was like, "Oh, that's an Imhoff. Yep, that's one of ours. We'll take that one. That's going home with us. You can't swap these. They're ours." You know what's amazing? God says, "You're ours. You're mine." What does that mean? My question is, do people look at you and they go, "Well, yeah, you definitely are one of God's kids. You look like them." You know what's amazing about people? Is they look like people. I know, is that too much this morning? People, have you thought? Well, because I know there are people out there that say that we're not created in God's image. And I say we are, because people look like people. And they say, "Well, no. Somewhere along the line, we evolved into people. God didn't make us people. We were plants and animals. We were dogs and fish and birds and before that, lizards, and before that, frogs, and before that, polywogs, and before that, we were an amoeba, and before that, it was a primordial soup." I know people say that, but what's amazing to me is people look like people. And I don't care if a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. The truth is the truth, even if nobody believes it. That doesn't change anything. And what's amazing to me is I look at people and I go, "You're people. You're created in God's image." Dogs, I go, "You're a dog. You look like a dog." Dog walks up, I say, I don't say people, I say dog. And you know what's amazing? They say, "Well, it doesn't matter how many times you say it, Pastor. There was a big bang and all these things happened." No. In the beginning, we already dealt with that. Get the tape. Go online for last week's. This week is in his image. In the beginning, God, in his image, we were created. I look like God. You look like God. Whoa, wait a minute. God is a spirit. What does that mean? And he made them male. It says there in Genesis, it says, "And God made them male and he made them female." He said, "Let us make man in our own image." By the way, isn't that a beautiful statement of the Trinity of God? Let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. Well, who? Well, there was the Father, and there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful picture of God in his Trinity. And he said, "Let us make man." So he made you and I, male and female. He made us like himself. And I think we look like God physically. I think we look like God spiritually. And I think he made us like him willfully. Well, let me explain that. Physically, can we look like God physically? Well, absolutely. Well, God's not physical. Says who? He made you in his image. Well, oh, you think God's not dirt? That's true. God is not dirt. You know, you were made out of the dirt, right? God made, formed man out of the ground. The word there is terrestrial. That's where we get the word. It's dirt, it's earth. And so God formed man. It says so there. You know what's amazing? In Genesis, we read that we are in the image of God. So what marks that? What do we look like? I know we have some people, we teach that we have a father in heaven, but there are some that teach we have no father creator, but we have a mother earth. Somehow that we came from this, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Listen, only one of us can be the creator and one of us can be the created. Only one of us can be the creator and only one of us can be the created. So either God created us in our own image or we created God in our own image. You just have to go, what am I going to believe? That's called faith. Nobody has a scientific answer. I love science. Well, we did this. We came from this. And I go, what? I love science too. And if you read in the textbook, there's a great thing by Kent Hovind, Dr. Kent Hovind, who does Christian science studies. He will debate anyone in the country. I've met him several times. I've had him in a couple of times. He's got some interesting other views, but as far as his creation stuff is right on the money. And we've called Michigan University, Michigan State, we'll call them all. He'll debate, and there's no one that can stay with him scientifically because he stays with science. And it's amazing because he's got this thing that's called 22 lies in the textbooks that are still there. By the way, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that some of those are to be removed from the textbooks. So there are some books that are still being taught that are breaking laws that have been ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court. Say, take that out. We know it's not true. For instance, one was spray painting these moths a different color on a tree, saying how these things evolved. They didn't. In the 50s, they were spray painted on a tree different colors by a person and pinned and taken pictures of, and they're still in your textbooks, and it's a lie, and the government has said, don't teach it. It's a lie. It's still in the textbooks. Because we are created in the image. Someone wants to get rid of our image of God. I wonder who's trying to get rid of our image of God and say, you're just an accident. You have no image. You are an accident on a coincidence going through space with no one at the driver's seat. And I want to tell you, go get last week's lesson. But I look at that and go, in one of the things in the textbook says this, and I love science, it says, people look like, I say people look like people, and so therefore I believe we're in the image of God because God made people in his image. He didn't make dogs in his image, he didn't make cats, and that's why we're not to carve or do anything to worship a graven image. We don't worship people, we don't worship cats, we don't worship dogs. That's why God put that commandment in there. The second commandment, don't bow down. But we do worship him. So it's interesting in the textbooks, they say, well, we came from other things. I mean, we weren't made in God's image. We're just this accident. Or I love the people who say, well, God made the Big Bang and God made the amoeba and allowed everything to evolve. That's not true. I believe in microevolution, but there is no such thing as macroevolution. It doesn't exist. I don't care what anybody says, scientifically, it's not science. That is a faith, and it's actually a bad faith because it's not true. See, science is empirical evidence that you can prove 100% of the time. It has to be empirical, which means it covers space, time, and people. It's empirical. Here's what's not empirical, is the idea that something can evolve macroevolution. That means changing from one species to another. And they say, oh, it happens all the time. No, I'm sorry. It says that these transitional fossils are rare. That's what it says in the textbook. My son brought one home one year, and I looked at it, and he says, Dad, you're right. It says it right there, right in my textbook. It says, the reason that we can't find transitional fossils to prove macroevolution, the changing, of a hippopotamus to a chihuahua, is because... Well, it all came from something. And it says, because we can't prove this, because these fossils are rare. That's not true. In the Karoo Valley in Africa, there are over 8 billion fossils in that valley alone. in the Karoo Valley. I mean, that's scientific. 8 billion. You know what's amazing about the fossils we found there? Is that in this giant valley, all of these fossils gathered together and we uncovered them all together. We found animals there that shouldn't be there in that natural habitat. And we found hippopotamuses giving birth right in the middle of it, and somehow they were fossilized giving birth right in the middle of it. Something happened and brought all of these animals together and covered them up with mud, and they fossilized immediately. I wonder what happened. Could it be Genesis 11, a flood that brought everything together and just kind of right there in that valley? And there's more than one valley. And you know what we found in the 8 billion rare fossils? Here's what we found. Not one single transitional fossils. A hippopotamus were all hippopotamuses. Bats were bats. Dogs were dogs. Giraffes were giraffes. There isn't a single thing that exists. And if you want more information, you can go on looking on the creation stuff. I didn't want to get into the whole thing about Lucy in Germany and how that's not true. It's a monkey leg. Everything about it, it's a monkey leg, and they built an entire human. I don't want to get into Peking Man that they found, that all the evidence has disappeared, or Nebraska Man. Nebraska Man, I was in the ontological science museum in downtown Toronto with my kids one time, and we see that whole thing with man evolving from the cave, right, from this chimp, and all the way up, and it had all these transitional things, and it had Peking Man, Nebraska Man, you know, Neanderthal Man, Lucy, and all these things. And you know, it's amazing, almost all the evidence isn't even there, and we know today, the truth is, we built an entire, and there he was, Nebraska Man, stand there, an entire Homo sapien built out of a pig's tooth. It was a tooth, and they built an entire human out of it and said it's transitional. We know from testing it with DNA, it was a pig's tooth in Nebraska from a farmer. Still in the textbooks. So here it is. Without going into all that, God says we are created in his image. And I said, well, what does that image look like? I mean, I have my kids. They look like me. They look like their mother. They're in our image. If we're in God's image, is there a physical image? And I'm going to submit to you, yes, there's some physical image of God. Because here it is. God is physical in some ways. Doesn't he say in heaven there's going to be streets? Why do we need streets? I understand that there's a mansion in heaven. I have family. Right now, they have an address. I don't know if they have a doorbell. I don't know if you need to ring the doorbell in heaven. But there's a great banquet. There's going to be some eating going on. Why do I need to eat if I don't have a tongue or teeth? You know what's amazing? Check out this verse. In Psalm 94:9, they're going to bring this up. Here's what is amazing. The Bible talks about hearing, that God hears. Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? So God hears and God sees. Isn't that amazing? We hear and we see just like God. You know, it's amazing to me in the Old Testament that Jacob, Jacob, the deceiver, the crafty one, his name was changed to Israel. Do you remember he wrestled with God? Well, it wasn't God the first person, it was God the second part of the Trinity, Jesus. Jesus wrestles. All you wrestlers out there, Jesus wrestled. He wrestled with Jacob. Well, how can you wrestle if you don't have a body? Remember Moses saw the backside of God on the mountain? And there was Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego who were thrown into a fiery furnace. And when Nebuchadnezzar saw the furnace and saw the boys not burning up, he called the servant and said, hey, how many did we throw in there? Wasn't it three? How come I see four? And the fourth looks like the Son of Man. He saw another person in the fire. So I submit to you that somehow we represent the image of God, and in heaven we get a resurrected body like Christ. Christ identifies with us and we identify with him. So it's interesting. Here it is. It's no wonder that the devil spends a lifetime telling girls they're not beautiful. You are not in the image of God. And every magazine and every kind of thing that we can do to destroy the image of a woman, whether it's in a magazine for modeling or whether it's something in pornea, as the scripture uses, pornea over and over again for the word a perverted sexuality. It's no wonder that women, that the devil is trying to somehow take away the image of God in you, ladies. And I say to you, be the child of God, be the centerpiece of God's garden. Ladies, you were created in the image of God. Your beauty shines through in who you are inside and outside. You are created to be beautiful. You are beautiful. And God never paints a bad portrait. There's not a single woman alive that is ugly. Those words are not from God. You are created in God's image. Gentlemen, I don't care how many times you look in the mirror, let me tell you something. You are the strength of God. Isn't it interesting that God made women in this soft, feminine beauty? Now, ladies, don't beat me up afterwards for saying that. But ladies, it's true. There is such a beauty in you that men do not possess in that sense, if you understand what I'm saying, that God created. Gentlemen, there is a strength that God is trying to show off in this world. Be the man that God has created you to be. Let God show off through your muscles. Use them for God's glory and not for the devil's brutality. Use your strength for what God has made. You were created in the image of God. And I believe that image is physical. I believe that image is spiritual. We have, it's amazing that the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, and then it goes on into chapter 2, and it says, God then breathed into man's nostrils. See, you might have been dirt before, but once God breathed into you, you received the ruach. The ruach is a Hebrew word. You receive the spirit of the living God. You know what that means? You have God breathe in you. You have the Spirit of God. That changes everything. You are not an animal. I am not an animal. I am a living being. The minute God breathed into you and you had life, in your mother's womb, the Bible says, when God put a spirit in you, you became a living being. Listen to this. Everyone in this room, you are going to live forever because God has given you eternity. That's what separates you from everything else that's ever been created. I am not a plant and I am not an animal. I'm a human. I'm in the image of God. I'm a son of God. My wife is a daughter of God, and we will live forever. And you know what he breathed in? When he breathed that in, here's what we got in the image. See, my kids, when they were little, oh, they were so perfect. And then they turned two. And oh, did it happen? Might have happened earlier for some than others. As a parent, I wanted to instill the best of my image on their character. As parents, don't we hope for so much more? And so I'm trying to instill this into my kids, and I want you to be good. I don't want you to do bad things. I want you to love and be kind. Don't get drunk. Don't get wasted. Don't waste your life. Don't be a sloth. Pick up after yourself. Be polite to people. Say thank you and please. Be everything good that I want you to have of my image. And everything in my image that's bad, forget about it. Right? Do what I say, not as I. Yeah, my father said that to me so many times. We want to project, and God projected all that he was within us. Love, kindness, compassion, mercy, long-suffering, patience, all that he projected on us. And he brought that in. And here we were. Here was Adam walking around going, God, I love you. Here was Adam and Eve walking around in the garden without a shred of cotton on. They were in their birthday suits walking with God. And you know why we have shame today? Not because of what God has instilled upon us, but because, come back next week in the garden, somebody broke it. Here, hold on to this for me. Whoops, I broke it. See, Adam and Eve walked around they walked around in love and joy and perfection and beauty and shamelessness. There was no hurt. There was no pain. His strength was perfect. Her beauty was beyond anything else. And there was nothing wrong. It was beautiful. I think we are made in God's image spiritually as well. And he said, take dominion over all of the animals. Let me move along here. Let me give you the last one. I believe we're in God's image. Here it is. We're in God's image willfully. We have free will. And here's Adam and Eve walking around. They're going, this is great. We have the image of God. We get to walk with God. And they didn't die, by the way. You know why we can't see God? The Bible says God cannot live with sin. We'll get into this next week. And so when Adam and Eve broke it, they had to be cast out of the garden. They couldn't spend time with God. They couldn't walk with him in the evening. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Can't do that because of sin. And so here they are walking around in perfect beauty and perfect strength, in the image of God physically and spiritually, And God says, I want to instill into you something that is in my nature, that's different from the dogs, that's different from the elephants. It's different from the trees. Of all these things I created, Adam, that you got to name, of all the things that were brought to you, I'm going to give you something that's different, that's going to make you in my image. And here it is. He said, see that tree right there, the knowledge tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You can eat of every tree, but don't touch that tree. At that moment, God knew what he was doing. And he said, don't touch that tree. That tree, that's it. I now have a choice. For the first time in all of creation, man had free will. And you know what? We've had free will ever since. I love free will. I hate free will. I love to hate free will. It is the best thing God's given us, and it is the curse of man. It is the blessing of God. It is the curse of man. Because we don't know what to do with ourselves. Every one of you today have a choice. Will you choose to do good? Tomorrow you have a choice. Will you treat people with kindness? Will you give a gesture to someone who cut you off in traffic? Will you lose your temper with a spouse or a child? Children, will you rebel against your parents when they don't do what you want them to do? Will you take your choice and will you sin against God and break the very image that God has given you? I love free will. You know what free will does? It makes you and I real. There are no bunny rabbits today gathering together for church. There are no deer today on the side of the road holding funeral services. There are no trees gathering together to help one another. You and I are so different in all of creation. We are in the image of God. You have a choice today. Can I say it's painful having choices? It's painful having choices because choices leave us where we are today. One of my favorite stories, I have to close it this way. One of my absolute favorite stories is a little kid's book, The Velveteen Rabbit. In The Velveteen Rabbit, it's this allegory, it's this analogy about this little kid's room and all of his toys, and his little toys have life. And this is what makes us real. And one day, the little pony is having a conversation. The skin horse is having a conversation. The rabbit that's in there. And here's the conversation. I love this. The rabbit one day says to the pony, to the skin horse, "What is real?" said the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came in to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things buzz inside of you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you were made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just play with you, but really loves you, then you become real." "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you were real, most of your hair has been loved off. And your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and you get very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because when you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." Are you real this morning? In the image of God. I was a youth pastor for several years in Iowa, huge youth group, several hundred kids. I had 14 kids in my youth group that I knew of that were adopted, but I didn't know they were all adopted. One day, this girl, very nice young lady, a junior in high school, beautiful girl. We were talking, and I was talking about the twin boys that were in our program that had been rescued. They didn't, at the age of 5, even know how to use silverware. They ate with their hands. They were like animals because they were abandoned. And their aunt took them in and raised them, and they were in our program. Great boys. of the Lord. We're talking, I said, it's amazing that they're adopted. You'd think they were just like their aunt and uncle who've been raising them for several years. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor, I'm adopted. You're not adopted. She says, yeah, I'm adopted. I said, you're your mom's twin. She said, they took me in when I was just a baby. And I guess as I've grown up, I just began to look like her. But how cool is that? And I got to thinking about that. It's true. We tend to look like the person or people we're around the most. I want to look like my father. Today, I can become more like him or less like him. The more you spend time with someone, the more you look like him. You do. Can I say to you, spend time with your Father in heaven. It's natural. You already look like him. Let other people go and look at you and see all the marks and go, oh, you're one of his kids, aren't you? I can tell. Well, how can you tell? You look like one. You act like one. You talk like one. You love like one. I'm so glad to be here today. God didn't give me a promise of today. But when I woke up this morning and the day exists, I thought, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. And today, I want to be like my Father. I'm one of his kids, you know. It's good to get together with family, isn't it? We're kids. Some of you, your hair's been worn off, loved off. Your joints are getting shabby. Your eyes are falling out. But you know what it's like to be loved. Isn't that great? Be loved. Love other people and be loved. Let's stand together and pray.